Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to the French Talker Podcast with me, Tim Groves, ex-Scotland international and adopted Frenchman, Johnny VT. And we're going to be joined shortly by France second row and former South Africa under 20 international, Paul Willemse, to look ahead to a huge World Cup quarterfinal between France and the Springboks on Sunday night. How is your week though, Johnny? And before you start, we've got to share with everyone. We're going to lift the curtain. We're not going to hide it. What has been going on, admin? Good, yeah? You're on top of everything.
I am underneath everything. Everything's on top of me. It's been good generally. Scotland now out, so things quieting down a little bit for me, mate. There'll be less following Scotland, more following the other teams, which is cool. And this week actually is the first week since the comp started that I got back on Tuesday night, and I've got like 4 days at home with the family. So it's actually just really nice to catch up. Get everything organized or disorganized. We were just having a laugh because I'm a Muppet.
Fill us in.
I was just verifying all the flights for next week because obviously I'm in Marseille and I'm in Paris and doing lots of different bits and bobs. As a treat, we told the kids last night we were taking them to watch France against South Africa. Ooh. So they're pumped. We got tickets and we've booked the flights. Everything's been booked, you know, verifying my flights. And I was just verifying whilst doing other admin my flights about 4 hours ago, and I don't know how, in putting my phone back in my pocket, I've cancelled all the family's flights. So I've been on hold with Air France for about the past 2 hours trying to get it sorted, and it turns out all I can do is just book the same flights that I've just given them back again for £1,000. So that's how my event's going. Another grand down, but still looking forward to making some memories. Whether they're positive or negative ones, I don't know yet. But yeah, mate, can't wait. Looking forward to it. But yeah, bit of a mistake with the flights. Mrs. isn't delighted. I'm not too happy either, but these things happen. What are you going to do?
I don't know what to say.
I mean, what do you say? It's obviously the tickets are quite expensive. The hotel's quite expensive. It's expensive to get up there. I've only cancelled the return tickets for Jen and my two eldest kids. The youngest kid and I are fine, so we could just go, the two of us. But yeah, so three extra tickets, £1,000 for the privilege. Thank you, Air France.
This is not my phrase, but I've heard other people say these things, Johnny. You've just got to write them off. They call them the idiot tax.
Fair play. My missus came up with something slightly more colourful and creative. I'm not going to lie. But idiot tax is a nice way of putting it. Absolutely.
We will obviously chat much more about the game when we get Paul on, but we are recording this before Fabien Galthié announces his team selection. Mm-hmm. There aren't going to be any surprises though, are there? Obviously, Marchand is still out. Dupont is going to be back and it's going to start, right?
Well, it looks like Antoine is training, sitting people down. If you look at the social media, sitting down, I mean, how bad is that? showing that he's ready to the Springboks, but love it. It made me laugh a little bit. Sitting down, Mathieu Jalibert in training. He's wearing a scrum cap. He looks like he'll be back. In terms of selection, no real surprise. I think it's going to be too tight for Julien Marchand. Looks like it will be a 6-2 bench from what they're showing at training. And McAlou will be in instead of Melvin Jaminet. Biai Barry looks like he's keeping his place. No spot on the team for Villiers.
And you mentioned Dupont has been wearing a scrum cap in training, Johnny. Is he going to be wearing it for the game? Is he going to be wearing a mask? Is he going to be wearing anything?
You know what? He's been training with a scrum cap. You'd think if he's going to wear anything else, he'd be wearing it in training. So he's obviously just wearing a scrum cap. But how much protection that actually gives for the area of his face that he's broken, I don't know how much it gives me. Or if it's just a comfort thing, I've got no idea. But obviously, structurally, that isn't going to have much of an impact on the area that he's injured. But that's what he's training with, and it looks like that's what he's going to hit out with. So if that gives him a little bit of confidence, then so be it.
Have you worn one? I mean, obviously you're not a scrum half, but does it affect peripheral vision?
Hate it, mate. I hate in that it was constantly weird in that I'm quite weird anyway, but I hate having something under my chin. I hate not being able to hear properly. I hate not peripheral vision. It just, I found it took like a little edge away from me in the way that I could communicate and see around me. Obviously, that's not the case for everyone because there's loads of players that absolutely love having them, but it wasn't for me. And I can't remember Antoine having played with one previously in the top 14 or even youth setup. So it'll be a first time for him as well, I'd imagine. And yeah, it isn't always easy, especially not in a decision-making position where you have to keep your wits about you, be chatting all the time. Not straightforward.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's get our guest on now then. Well, more friend of a show, I guess, and the perfect man to look ahead to this quarterfinal between France and the Springboks. France second row, Paul Willemser joins us. How you doing?
Hey, fine. Thanks. And you guys?
We're good. Well, actually, I'm good. Johnny?
I'm €1,000 down, but apart from that, I'm fine. It's not like my ego's hurt. I'll get over it. It's fine.
We apologise. Paul and I have been sat on a twiddling our thumbs for about an hour and a half, but it's okay, Johnny. Don't worry. It's fine, honestly.
I owe you both a beer. I apologise.
Let's start with the positives, Paul. You're back fit. You're saying you're training in Corsica, are you? So you're fit, you're ready if anyone goes down injured with France as well?
Yeah. Basically, last week I got cleared. So just sent the message through to the French staff that I'm all good to go. So whenever you guys need me, I'll be ready. And then, fell in with my club Montpellier on the camp they had this week. So I'm training with them and then might play this weekend. Just a good 40 minutes to get back into it. So it will do me good because I haven't been playing in a while. So yeah, no, really fit and back playing rugby again, so it's good.
Good man. The rugby aside, let's park that. I want to know about Corsica because it's on my list of places to go. I'm desperate to get there on holiday. What's it been like? Corsica as a place, as an island. Have you been there before? And what have you made of the island so far?
Yeah, we normally with Montpellier the last few years, we've came here every year to do a stage. But yeah, it's like the typical rugby scenario. You know, you don't really get that much time to go and, you know, you're not coming for holiday. So no, we've been around. We had a cool 4x4, all the quads and stuff. We did a day that we went out on it that was really quite fun. And then spent some time at the beach. Really nice here, nice atmosphere. It's not the worst place in the world to do a rugby camp.
And obviously the positives are that you are back now. You're ready. The body is good. But everyone knows the background. Just give us an insight into what it's been like on the sidelines watching the pool stages, because you've been such a massive part of this France side for the last 4 years, then to experience what happened on the eve of the tournament? What's it been like watching from the outside?
Yeah, and obviously from the start, which was made basically the week before the New Zealand game, the opener, where we basically just had a week off and I had to do a few sessions by myself. And I did my running session halfway through and I just felt my quad get a small tear. So yeah, that started off like that. And then obviously that next week didn't go as nicely with me emotionally and all that. So I had to deal with that, got through it. And since then, kind of just put all my energy and all the frustration back into just dealing with all those things that are in my hands. So just focusing on getting back, because there's, from the start, I knew speaking with the coaching staff and all that there's a possibility to come back. So I knew, okay, then it's not finished yet. There's still a chance. So just do everything you can to be back. So yeah, I've been basically just throwing myself into the rehab and doing everything I can to get back as quickly as possible. And then while doing that, the games have been going on and I've been watching the boys, watching the World Cup. Frustration and lots of joy as well, because they've been doing well. But yeah, you kind of have that kind of realization again that I'm not supposed to be a supporter. I'm supposed to be there on the field. That's a bit in the back of your head. So yeah, it's a bit difficult and interesting, but doing really well and enjoying watching the games.
It's difficult though. Like you kind of mentioned it. It's difficult. It's always horrible when we're watching. We want to play. Like that is the way it is. It's been horrific timing for you again. The positive news is you're back running. You're playing this weekend, game time. You're in touch with the camp. If they make it through the quarters, you're free and available for semis and finals. That's the overwhelming light of the tunnel. And that'd be the joy and happiness that we'd all have if it was to happen. And I know it can't have been easy watching the games, but what have you made generally? Like opening game, the All Blacks would have been the hardest one to watch. And just the sort of way they've gone about their business as well. What have you made of the performances through the pool stages?
Yeah, I think it was a bit difficult to actually show with our pool, to actually show what we at what level we are exactly, because besides the New Zealand game, the games weren't really that challenging, and especially there wasn't the game like there was with the South African Island group, where they had that massive, massive game, which really impressed everyone.
You're talking there about the Scottish test matches, obviously, Paulie.
yeah, that one as well. That was really revealing. So it's been quite difficult to actually show, and I've been actually seeing that, it kind of feels like all the attention is being shifted off of France, and it's being more put on South Africa and Ireland, which is normal because they had a pretty awesome test match. Yeah, it's interesting to see how it all flows. But yeah, the performance of the French team, I felt like they did whatever they could have done. Obviously, the Uruguay game was a bit of a difficult one, and where they kind of swapped a few guys out. And then, yeah, but in my head, it's always difficult to be ready for those types of games, where it's not a big country, and to get up for it, which you need to be. But yeah, it's always difficult to be mentally prepared for those type of games, because it can be really frustrating to play against those type of teams, because they do certain things that you're not used to see in Six Nations. There's certain stuff that happens on the field that throws you off. But besides the Uruguay game, I felt like France showed exactly what they were given in terms of games. But yeah, the real test will be from now on.
We'll find out on Sunday night, but it's a fascinating contrast, isn't it? Because you got South Africa, they had a week off at the end of the pool stages, but before that they'd had some serious tests, including Scotland, Johnny, don't worry. And, you know, New Zealand have also had a period where they've been playing lesser sides, and they've got to face Ireland, who have had really tough test after tough test. So there's no right or wrong, but we'll find out this weekend what the best preparation is, I guess.
Yeah, it's really difficult to measure teams when there's such a big gap between them during the pool stages, but it was kind of interesting for me, because you will always find out, like, it's interesting to see when it starts getting now serious how all the teams are fighting to be the underdog again, like everybody loves to be the underdog. The light has been taken a little bit off of France, which is good. I think it will only benefit the French team. to just remind everybody again what we've built the last 4 years.
Just a couple of things on you, Paul, before we move on to talking a bit more about the game. Firstly, I remember when we had you on before and we were talking about injuries, you said you had a spell, which could be very short or could be a little bit longer, where you ate everything in sight before you smashed the rehab. So how long was that this time? What did you eat?
Yeah, so this time it took about a week.
Okay.
It took about a week to work through everything, work through all the motions. And it took about, I think, 4 big barbecues and a lot of alone time to work through everything and, just get my head on straight back, and then just let me live through all those emotions. Because, obviously, if you've had a build-up of 4 years, and even before that, I've been building up this in my head, since you were 5 years old, playing in the World Cups. So, it's difficult. It's really difficult. But, I had some good barbecues and I had some difficult times. But luckily, my wife, my family, everyone was around me to share the pain and the sadness with it. But, it's one of those things that you can... What can you do? You just need to go to move forward and make the best of what you have. So,
good. I'm glad the meat did the trick. And also, I'm sure some of this was before the injury. Some of it might have been out, but every cloud is a silver lining. You spent a bit of time with Johnny recording some stuff. So, I don't know if that's good or bad.
Yeah, I know. We had a few emotional moments together as well. We really bonded. So on a boat. On the ocean, so we really used that time as well. It was part of my healing process.
How long was the video in the end with Paul, and how many days did you spend with him? Because we went through this with Bernie. You 3-4 days, long lunches, 8 minutes in the end. The same deal here.
Some of the best times of my life. Think of this one as a little bit Titanic, a little bit Brokeback Mountain, and it was a good time. It was bonding. We had a nice time. A couple of beers, some good food. That's it. Everything gets condensed into 7-8 minutes. But it was good fun, man. It was good. And I've spent quite a bit of time. We filmed together in Marseille and I've been there every Monday since filming stuff. So it's a good part of the world. It was fun.
Yeah. One of the good parts about rugby, and I was glad I had to do that because sometimes you take it a little bit too seriously.
It's good when you got Johnny's budget behind you as well to do a few days at it. Always good, yeah. I don't know who writes your checks, Johnny, but...
I don't get paid, mate. Paul got paid. Let me just make that clear. I didn't get paid, but Paulie does.
On a more important note, and a serious note, you mentioned that you've obviously told Fabian you're available. Everything's all good, all clear. Presumably during the whole process, you've been involved though, right? You've been in touch. You haven't been shut out. You've been in contact with the coaching staff.
Yeah. I've been keeping contact with the coaches once a week and obviously in the beginning a bit more, but more so with the medical staff, just following my progression, my GPA stats and all that, how everything's progressing. But the thing from the start was just, Paul, let us know when you're 100%. We want to get there as soon as possible because the whole thing was a bit... it was a bit crazy because I got injured just before they had to hand in the final squad, World Cup squad to World Rugby. So it meant if they took me, they already had a few other injured players that they made in the squad. And because I got injured just in that week before, they didn't want to take the risk of going into World Cup with 4 injured players. So, we kind of made the decision, put me on the bench or on the reserve list. So then it means that I can go back in because they don't want, I guess they don't want a scenario where first game, my lock gets injured and now we're stuck. We don't have guys to put on the field. That was the whole scenario. But then, being in contact with them most of the weeks, just until last week where I just had the final check mark and said, okay, I'm good to go. So now it's out of my hands. So we'll see what happens. Really hope for it. Hope for an opportunity so I can get back because I really made sure that I'm ready. If the possibility comes across, you always need to be ready for that. But I said, when I work through it, kind of make peace with it that if it doesn't happen, it's okay. We'll survive. it's not the worst thing in the world, but still have a little bit of hope that, that it will be possible.
And aside from the coaches, have you spoken to the players this week or last week? Presumably the excitement is building and they're obviously ready, but have you got a vibe for what it's like in camp?
Yeah, not really. You know, it's like a typical thing when you get injured, like the bus goes on, they drop you off and the bus goes on. It's one of the worst parts of being injured in the rugby scene, or in the sports scene. So yeah, but I've been kind of just following what's being said, like everyone in the media and all that. And I also know because we've been like knowing that there would be a possibility to play them, most probably either them or Ireland in the quarterfinals. So I know they've been preparing like a few weeks ago while playing the other games. They've been starting to look at the South African team. So yeah, obviously, yeah, I think it's going to be really, and I'm really excited for this match because it's going to be like the one of the first big tests for us in this tournament.
It's going to be absolutely huge. Let's get into why. Like two huge sides, physical, similar blitzing styles. What do you think is going to be the difference between these two sides?
I was thinking about it the other day and I was saying like one thing that was a bit weird for me was in the Ireland game where South Africa went for the 7-1 bench, but then all the penalty opportunities that they had, they didn't go for touch. And I mean, like that's normally why you would go with that 7-1 split to attack those set pieces, you know? So it was a bit weird that they didn't do that, but I know for a fact that they're going to do that against us, you know, like they, and that's quite kind of what you're going to expect from them. You know, thinking that they're going to attack the set pieces really, really hard, go for that, make sure that, give them a good base for their backs to do their thing. And then for the French team, the thing that really worked well for them that I've been picking up like this last few 10 test matches that they've had is like you really start seeing how the balance between the forwards and the backs and the way they play together start really working nicely. And I think that might be the thing that they have more than South Africa, where they're not that reliant on the forwards. And it's basically as soon as the opposition team blocks the forwards, the backs start doing, there's some holes opening up for the backs. And as soon as they start blocking the backs, the forwards start having some opportunities. So I think for the French team is that the balance between the forward play and back plays, like it feels like everyone's like in kind of the same level. And even the forwards know exactly what scenario the backs would prefer. So when they're getting that, they make sure that the backs get the ball. And it feels like the backs understand what scenario the forwards would like to play. So it works, it gels nicely at the moment. Whereas in South Africa, I think they're really going to focus on the set pieces against us.
So on that, if you're going 7-1, or even if you're going 6-2 against France, we've seen they've left points out there. Goal kicking hasn't quite been there with Libok. If you were Razi Erasmus this weekend and you're playing against France, would you go for Andre Pollard as your starting 10, or would you go for Libok?
Oh, yeah, I think that's going to be the... I think all the South African supporters are also, it's a big discussion because I think Bonnie Libok did an awesome job, like in his general play. I think he brings something to the team that Andre doesn't, and vice versa. So I think I actually heard Rassie speak this week and he said like where they don't just pick the best player in the position. They actually pick, they actually look in regards to how certain players complement each other and what players types play style they want for this weekend. So that's going to be interesting because I know like there's a good backline with Andre Pollard in it, and there's also a good backline with Marty Libok in it. So yeah, what they're going to do against France, I'm not quite sure. I guess if you want to play a typical knockout rugby, you need to make sure that those penalties, you get those three points, which, it's going to be really vital. And I think they saw it against Ireland as well. But knowing Rassie, he could just flip it on his head and just go all in and say, no, we're going to play. We're going to go to the corner every single time.
And you say you're fairly sure they're going to go with their 7-1 split, or it could be a 6-2 split. Rassie or Jack Nienaber, but together, they have delayed their team selection. They normally name their team very early on in the week. we're sat here now and they haven't named it as we're recording this. Is that kind of the ultimate mark of respect to France, or what's the thinking behind that, do we think?
I think they are. It's a typical Racing mind games, which is always fun. But I don't think it would bother the French team that much. You know, like, since I've been there, it's always been about like us, about our team and what we need to do to make sure that we play to the max of our possibilities. And I think that would stay the same. I don't think we adapt that much towards the teams that we play. It doesn't change that much. So it might change a few set piece launches from scrums or lineouts or small things like that. But in a bigger picture, well, it doesn't matter what team they're going to play. You know that you're going to expect the rucks to be a slaughter, and you're going to expect the ball carries to be insane and the physicality to be insane. And that's not going to change. It doesn't matter what they play. So, I mean, you just prepare for that, and that's all you can do.
Did you play with Dion Fury?
No, I played against him, you know, I think a few times.
So like once Marks got injured and picked up that ACL injury, which is obviously devastating for him, what did you make of the decision not to go for a specialist hooker, but to take Dion Fury and Marco van Staden, one of whom has played hooker, but like not recognized? That's also ballsy, is it not?
Yeah, I think it was the same scenario where the injury, and I kind of had Andre Pollard there at the back waiting for an injury, and I think they used that card to get him back in, which was, I think, a good decision. And then if you look at the pack as well, Dion Fury is a solid player, and I think he was in the team because he can cover hooker and loose forward and number eight as well. So, yeah, he can cover a few positions. And when you're in that kind of team, he's... might say that he's not a specialist lineout thrower, but what he brings on the field is awesome. So yeah, I think that small weakness that he brings, I think in an eight man pack with the forwards they have, I think that little weakness won't have that big of an effect if everybody's on form and everybody's bringing it. And he actually showed it when he got the man of the match performance. So he's an awesome player, and yeah, he did well in my eyes. Like, he did really well. Like, lineouts would be a challenge for him, but yeah, it's not that big of a weakness for them.
Yeah, it's a bit like the 7-1 split, Johnny. I mean, he was a hooker until about 5-6 years ago. He can clearly still do it, but it's okay if it goes well. If Mbonambi goes down injured in the first 10-15 minutes, it all of a sudden doesn't look too smart.
It's insane. But then the fact they clearly back his skill set, he's clearly good enough. Otherwise, Razzie doesn't come across as a coach that isn't smart or is going on gut. Like, he's statistically based. He's clearly gone on the fact that he believes that guy's got throw quality that's good enough to play and win a World Cup. Otherwise, he wouldn't be there. Like, he's not daft. The one area in the big battle I really want to pick your brains about is the second row battles. You got Wauke and Flamand going up against probably Etzebeth and Mostert. Like, how do you see that mini battle within the game going?
Yeah, if you say that type of roles that they play are really different. Wauke is like a loose forward and lock. And Flamand has his awesome running lines, and he's looking for that. But then you're on the other side, you get Mostert, which is just a workhorse on the field, just going from action to action. Keeping his same rhythm in the game and just going from rock to tackle to tackle. And then, yeah, you've got Itzabeth, who's also capable of doing big actions in the game and big momentum changes. So, yeah, but you kind of have to kind of look at the whole pack in a bigger scale, like seeing how the both packs have certain roles which complement each other. Because now we have a lighter lock, smaller locks than Springboks on the, especially the tight end prop. But then we have Big Tao coming on from the bench, which can change things up then again. But then also we start with Winnie Antonio, who makes up the weight in the scrum that you kind of lose from the lock. So when you look at all of that, it comes up pretty even in my eyes. Like, it's not that big of a difference.
Another even area. There's barely anything to choose between them anywhere. But on that, we have laughed with you in the past about how you're a proper second row, Paul. Cameron, Thibaut, Yeah, they're a bit of back row, a bit of second row. You could say the same about Franco Mosta. He's played a lot of back row as well. Have you kind of noticed that France are playing a bit differently without you there starting and without Romain Tafefanua there starting and with those two in the position? Is there a noticeable difference from what you're seeing?
Well, that's a pretty difficult question to answer without.
They're noticeably worse. That's a loaded question. I'm going to answer for Paul because he can't answer that. Yeah, obviously they're poorer. Since I'm not there, it's not quite been the same.
I meant you touched on it. They're lighter. Are they tipping the ball on more? Are they not getting into those kind of confrontations because they haven't got a massive second row like either?
Yeah, but that's exactly not. But like I said, now you lose a little bit of the strength in the forward pack with compared to maybe your lineouts and your scrums and maybe some rocks. And like normally for me, I pride myself in making big defensive action sometimes that can change like the momentum of the attacking team and then just stop their launches dead and gives your defense a bit of a breather and making melt the other guys make turnovers and all that with a big tackle and all. But you don't have that now, but then you add awesome skills in lineouts and all the other stuff that Walkie brings and Flamor brings back. So now you're a bit more full on that side. So I guess like every team would love to have a big second rower in their team to do the physical stuff. And obviously for me, I would say I think it would have been better if I was there. Obviously, I need to say that. I need to believe that. But like I said, I think the other players help complement each other and help fill the gaps that they might be. So I guess it changes in a bit. But I would obviously love it if people tell me that that team needs you.
We'll tell you.
It's not just this French team. Every team would be better with a Paul Vallemsi at five. That's what I've written down as you were talking.
Absolutely. And Johnny, I don't know what you're worried about. That was the perfect diplomatic answer. I didn't tee him up there. Smashed it.
And Paulie, you mentioned like the physicality, the set piece, what's coming from the Springboks. You also talked around how maybe it wasn't too difficult to pull. Once that big game was out of the way, it was a bit of a breeze. If France are going to make it through this quarterfinal and make it into a semi, what do they have to nail? Because we've seen some outstanding play, expansive stuff against Namibia, like easy tries. But against South Africa, you have to win physicality and set piece. But what are the sort of add-on bits that are going to guarantee that they win this game? If they're going to win this game, what do they need to do?
Yeah, well, first of all, your line of defense has to be on point against them. Like I said, because I'm pretty sure they're going to try and attack us because we haven't been really tested that much in the line of drive defense. And then the scrums, I think if they look at our previous games in the World Cup, they might think that there's a possibility for them to get a few penalties in scrum time. So I think for them, the easiest things to go for is the set pieces. Because like I said, we weren't really tested. But I would say that I think the French know this, and they would have spent this last few weeks just nailing that down and making sure, because they know it's coming. Like it's not like you don't know what to expect from a South African, from the Springboks, you know. So it's quite simple. But I think that's going to be the big if they are able to match the physicality in the line of drives and in the scrums, it will make it really difficult for the Springboks.
One other area that could be massive, can you give us an insight into how big the kicking game is going to be? I know it might not be your area of specialty, but clearly it's a team approach. And France have got a South African, Flock Killiers, in there. And he obviously works very closely with Sean Edwards. So can you just give us an insight into how that kind of works and who might have the edge there as well, I suppose, in the kicking game?
Yeah, I think that it will be a battle of who can keep their forwards the freshest from both teams. Because like, if you think at the end of the day, that's basically what your kicking game is to not waste energy in places that you're not going to get any reward. And then especially with both teams that have big packs, your aim is to make sure you don't waste the energy having six or eight rucks in your own half for nothing, and then possibly giving away a penalty when they, when you know in the other team they have got good stealers in the team. So we talk about that's like the base of the kicking game. But like, yeah, I know both teams have a really good kicking game, and I think the fact that Dupont is also going to be in the team will help that a lot. And yeah, it's going to be that battle of who can keep their forwards the freshest for the longest, because obviously you want to start tiring them out and they want to start tiring us out, and then making sure you don't take risks. And then when you, just for the big moment, when you get to that first attacking launch, that everybody's firing 100% to make sure you get out of their half with some points. So yeah, in that sense, yeah, the kicking game is going to be really, really important.
And two sides that kick a lot, right? Because even more so, you'd argue they would go into this game and they'd probably kick even more. Because like, if I was playing against France and I was playing into a blitz defense, like I wouldn't want to run into that. There's no point as a ball carrier. You just get smashed. The same running into the Springboks. Like you're running into a blitz defense. What's the point? So like you talk about that wastage of energy, I don't think we'll see either side play any rugby inside like their own 40, maybe up to 50, because there's no point. And then it'll become a grind. Like whoever can win that gain line, little edges, little penalties, that's the way the game will go. And it reminds me of the game, I don't think you played in the test in Marseille in 2022. It was just before that game, I think you picked up another injury.
Yeah.
But it was that type of game. The Springboks got a red card really early, but they're one of the few sides that can live with the French physicality because they're so physical themselves. Yeah. It'll just be such an interesting game, and it'll be built around collisions and going to be ridiculous.
Then as well, you throw in the French flair, which they are capable of doing just a normal classic ruck in the middle of the field, and then all of a sudden Dupont snipes or does a chip or does a handoff or something. Piet Mavako picks the ball up again next to the ruck, and then that just creates a break and some chaos. And then as well, in the South African side, then you have, if Marnie Leboek is playing or Cheslin Kolbe, you know, just making an awesome break or catching the ball from a up and under or something like that crazy, then, you know, so I think we're going to see some amazing rugby. I really think that you're going to see some amazing thing, because that's what it's going to take to score against either team. You're going to have to do some pretty amazing things.
One of the players who's been finishing off a lot of those opportunities for France and has just had an insane last year or two is Damien Penaud. You obviously know him well. We've laughed, I think, with you in the past about this, certainly with Benji on a week-to-week basis about what he's like as a personality. He's a bit of a kind of mad guy. He's his own man, which is great. Have you noticed when you've been in camp over the past year or so that he's matured and is he still the same guy? Because I mean, his form is just ridiculously good at the moment.
You could literally see that in the past 4 years that he's been gaining experience like crazy, and obviously playing high test level rugby, the amount of experience you gain from each small test is crazy. So yeah, he's as a rugby player, he's really matured and gained so much experience. Like the things just kind of look easier for him, you know. But yeah, as a player and as a guy off the field, he's been exactly the same. You know, kind of a stiffler character. But, doesn't take anything seriously, always laughing, always having a crack. But then, yeah, when he turns to the games, it's like, kind of feels like he just does what he, like he's just natural. Like he just plays on feeling and like whatever he feels at that moment is right. And that's the cool thing, I think, from the French squad, is that we kind of leave those possibilities open for players to have a go. And well, if you feel this is what you're going to do, then everybody just jumps behind you and makes it work. So that kind of also helps a player like him, you know, like when you have those guys around you that, okay, we give you the ball, see what you're doing. If something happens, okay, we just go see if you can do anything. I can give Antoine Dupont the ball, see what he can do, and then everybody goes from that. Or give Gilbert the ball, see what he can do, and everybody goes from that. So there is a space left in our game plan and in the way that we approach rugby that leaves the game open a bit to create stuff. Because I kind of get a sense like our French way of playing is like, if we sometimes don't know what's going to happen, then the team playing against us surely is not going to know what's going to happen. So we leave that so that it's not as strict and your game plan is not as predicted as possible, because then other teams you've played against so many game plans and stuff. Normally, you just go into the VIP, know exactly, you know, they're probably going to put up a ruck here and another one here and then shift it and then kick it that side. You know, you kind of have these things, but we kind of leave it a little bit open and see, you know, let's see what happens. And then we go from that. And I think that surprises some teams.
The door is open also for Damian to go on and potentially be the first man to get more than 8 tries in Rugby World Cup history in one competition. Like, if the team stays in, he's got a decent chance of breaking that record as well, which would be absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, 2 tries. Eh? It's only 2 tries away to equal it. Yes, but I would love that for him. That would just feel in that this generation of French rugby is really special. And I could just more reinforce the fact that this group of players that we have is really special and it's generational. So, yeah, I would love for him to break that record. That would be awesome.
It's great. And whenever you mention his name, people who know him, you can see the smile come across their face before they answer the question. It's like, Damian Penno, yeah. And then everyone's got a story. But it's interesting because the scope is clearly there for someone like Damian, someone like Antoine, Mathieu Jalabert, whoever it is, to whether you call it go off script or not, to just do something special, which is great. But yet Fabian is obviously a meticulous coach as well. I just wanted to ask you about the difference between him and Razi Erasmus in a way, because it's been very high profile in this World Cup, albeit a little quirk or gimmick, maybe the lights in the coaching box. I mean, I don't know whether they're a big thing, whether they're another like Razi diversion, but I mean, shouldn't the players be making the decision on the pitch? Is it?
Yeah, but he actually, so when I grew up watching Super Rugby and Curry Cup games in South Africa, he was actually on the top of the stadium roof. And when he coached the Cheetahs on the stadium roof, like shining lights to help the guys in the field. So yeah, I've never been in that situation. I haven't been in that coaching or in that team and stuff. So I don't exactly know what type of things. I think it might be just some general advice, like are you going for 3 points or the touch on a penalty? Or are you going to maybe do a wide, I would say maybe a middle or wide or blindside play, maybe that type of thing. So I don't know I guess it just helps him feel that he's a bit more in control. I guess that's the most frustrating part of a coach, is just letting the players be on the field and make their own choices. I think that's, for a coach, that's the part where like you don't have any control. So I don't know if that maybe helps him to feel like, okay, no, listen, I can still have an impact in the game. Because like since the past, you know, with the whole water boy thing and all that, you know that he likes to be involved. So yeah, this is just, I think it's just his style. I don't think it gives him a benefit to, because if people complain about it, they actually give him a massive compliment, you know, that he can actually help make the Springboks better on the field. But yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. I just think it's his coaching style. It's the same with the 7-1 split thing when everybody made a big fuss. And I think for everyone that actually understood rugby and understands what goes on, you know, like, if you do that, you're taking a massive risk. Yes, it can help you if everything works the way you think it's going to work, but you're also taking a massive risk. So, yeah, all these things is just who Razi is. And Fabian Galti also has his particular style. And it's actually quite cool to see the different personalities.
Yeah, he's not going to have the flags out, semaphore Fabian this weekend. No, he's going to leave that to Razi and do it his way.
Yeah, they won't be bothered about that type of stuff.
I don't mind it, mate. I think it removes some heat from the players on the field. So if you're not quite sure, there's a 50-50, there's a leadership group that's split, it's the coach's decision. A plus in France, like every single bench, you see all the coaching staff on the side, like they make decisions on the sidelines anyway. So I think it's actually quite cool. It just means that the team can get on with like next job mentality, and then the coach just makes the decision. I'm not against it at all. Whereas I played with loads of captains that that would really piss off, and that they are the captain, they've grown up making decisions and they want to continue, but it wouldn't bother me.
Yeah, and I think even with that, though, I think that he also leaves the possibility for the team to make a different decision if they feel on the field that, like, this feels different, it feels like we're going to have a go or whatever. So
we've gone quite deep there. We've covered every base. We've talked tactics. We've talked different matchups. Let's get a prediction. France, yeah?
Well, obviously, I'm going to be biased. France. Because I might still play for them in a final.
Exactly. I was going to say, what's going to happen is France are going to win. There's going to be an injury in the second round. You're going to be back next week.
Yeah, for me, they need to win so that I have another opportunity to maybe join the team.
And so the team can improve when Paul gets there. The team loves to get better.
You said it, Johnny. You said it. Paul did not say that. You said it.
Yeah, I didn't say it. Yeah, I think obviously the French team is going to win. But how much? I'm not sure, bro. This is typical.
It's tricky, eh?
We haven't even spoken about the fact in if you throw a red card or a yellow card in there, which we've seen in this World Cup, is it's like a massive thing. Like, have you seen the stats when they showed the other day or on the social media, the stats making the round when we weren't even half, we were a third into the World Cup and we already beat like all the last 2019 World Cup's records of cards, which is quite interesting and concerning at the same time.
I think we're mid-50s, bro. I think we're 50, I think it's 40-something or 50-something cards already in the competition, which is insane. But it still, it takes me back to, like, if France win this game, they make a final. Because if they get through this game, the semifinals against either Fiji or England, like that, I think that will be a more straightforward game, sorry, Tim, than the South Africa test. So, but it takes me back to, I think the one side, the one team on this side of the draw now that can cause France the biggest issues is South Africa, with the physicality, the one side on the side of the draw that can stand up to France and make it really difficult. Even going back to that game in Marseille, that was 30-26 to France, with South Africa having a red card for like 60 plus minutes. So, like, that just shows you how difficult this game is. But, like, having been in the stadiums, having seen the French crowds, like, I think the French boys will have grown in confidence as well. It's almost like they've embraced this competition. There doesn't look to be any negative pressure. I think Damien Penaud perfectly represents that. The sort of, not Stifler mentality for everyone, that's a silly thing to say, but, like, there's a guy playing no pressure, confident, settled in systems, believes in himself. And I don't think they're going to beat South Africa by a big score. I think it might be something like it was 30 points to 26, a difference of one score, 4 points. But I believe they can beat them by that type of score this weekend, which would allow Paul to come back in for a semi and a final.
Possibility.
And nail that down. But yeah, I think it's going to be class. But I'm going to go for a tight French win as well.
I was going to ask Johnny about the other games when we're done, Paul, but we might as well do it while you're here. Give us your view. What? Let's talk about the other. Johnny's written England and Fiji's chances off in a semi-final already, but give us your view on that one. Who's winning that, England or Fiji?
I'm going for the Fiji boys, right? I think, just for the dream, you know, just for the dream. I think that would be awesome for rugby in general. And I really think that I have a good chance. If they play like they did against Wales and Australia, bro, if they bring that type of physicality and gameplay that they did, bro, then they definitely have a big chance to win against England.
One thing we also haven't spoken about is it's about to rain this weekend in France. So in Paris, it's due to rain on Saturday, which doesn't help those games. But England could easily lose that game. Like, they should. This is bad. I saw somebody getting picked up. I think it was Drew Mitchell saying, you know, Australia should never lose to Fiji, or they shouldn't lose to Fiji. Fiji have some wonderful players, some outstanding talent, but England have always been too well organized and too structured and too difficult to beat. And you just don't see that anymore. You see it in fits and starts. Like, you saw it against Argentina, and then you saw nothing against Samoa. So England are so hard to pin down. I don't know what version of them is going to be out at the weekend. What I would love to see is another Fijian performance where they carry with purpose, where they break the gain line, where they offload. Everything that we love seeing in Fijian rugby, it's just whether England try and kick them to death and allow them to do that. So I also would love to see a Fijian win at the weekend.
You'd love to see it, Johnny. Of course, you're Scottish, but do you think it's going to happen?
Well, but the thing is, like, see the last weekend, England Samoa. I was like, that should be comfortable for England. They should win that at Canter. They win it by 1 point. I know they still win, but they weren't convincing at all. And so much that they did, they're, I don't know, they're so difficult to break down. And there's one thing, like, I think if my head was on it, I'd be like, England should win that game 4 times out of 5. But they also got absolutely humbled at Twickenham a month ago by Fiji. And they haven't looked consistent. So I don't know. Fiji again, worrying, losing the last game against Portugal. You don't know. England should win that game. But my hope is that Fiji win the game.
Yeah, let's say the best England of all their performance now in the World Cup and the best Fiji performance of the World Cup.
I'm still with Fiji, mate.
I think if it's best against best, yeah, England should win it. But yeah, if they bring a performance like they did against Samoa, and Fiji brings like the performance they did against Australia and Wales, it's really going to be difficult.
It's a close run thing, and if that is a close run thing, Wales Argentina is tough to call as well, isn't it?
Nah, for me that's easier. I think Wales will bring that through.
Yeah, Argentina haven't looked convincing either. I actually really enjoyed the Argentina-Japan game at the weekend. I think that's the best game. That was a weekend of some great games. But I don't know. Argentina just haven't fired, whereas Wales seem to be, like, pre-comp getting absolutely smoked by South Africa and looking a bit lost. All of a sudden, like, galvanized. Wow. Play well, physical, peaking well. They look explosive. So, yeah, I'm gonna give that to Wales as well, Tim.
And then the other big one. Ireland All Blacks, what do you reckon, Paul?
Yeah, well, Ireland is basically really on form at the moment. So, yeah, I think they pull out the win against New Zealand.
I'm also going to go Ireland, mate. Number one team in the world. They've been there for 3 years. They went down and won in New Zealand last summer. They won their summer tour there. I don't know, I've got a feeling like this is their time to sort of get rid of that hoodoo and get to a semi. They're definitely good enough. They're settled. They've got some old heads in there. They're so comfortable on the ball. Like, it's crazy. Their performance against South Africa was amongst the best that I've seen. Like, finding a plan B, C, and D to beat a South African side. So I think Ireland are going to win that game. That being said, an All Black side written off underdog is dangerous. But I just think Ireland have got too much.
Thanks so much for joining us, Paul. Good luck with the 40 minutes this weekend, if you get it. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we don't want to wish bad luck on anyone else, but we might see you back in a semi and a final. It'd be great to see.
No, thank you very much.
Enjoy Corsica, mate.
Yes, bye. Enjoy your flight with your family.
Yeah. Enjoy your £1,000, Johnny.
It is what it is. It is what it is.
They call it the idiot tax, Paul. Like, when you make a mistake like that.
School of life, that is. School of life.
My problem is I'm a tit. That's my problem, lads, basically. But it's done. Hey, making memories. Our kids might never get through this again. So yeah. Making memories. It's worth it.
When you remind Finn that you paid twice for his travel in 10 years' time, he'll appreciate it even more.
And when we look back at the images of him sitting watching Peppa Pig or whatever it is and not watching the game, it'll be worth it. It'll be great memories.
Cheers,
enjoy,
Paul.
Corsica.
Enjoy. Thanks, bro. Cheers.
Always good to hear from Paul, Johnny, friend of the show. Obviously, we can tell, we knew already how dark it is when something like that happens right on the eve of the tournament, literally deadline for squad submission. Interesting hearing the background behind that.
It's his second time as well.
Yeah. And we chatted to him just before the game against South Africa in the autumn that he missed. We know all the background, but at least he's back physically in a good place. And you just never know.
You never know. And you always want nice things to happen to good people. And he's a great boy. So, I mean, you don't want to wish well on other people. The only way he's going to get in now is if there's a little niggle or an injury picked up, and then he gets to jump on board for the semi or final if he makes it through. So it'd be nice for him to make that memory for his family as well, for everything he's sacrificed and the family has gone through, because it isn't easy, mate. Like, it's one of those things. Like, you can even tell talking to him there, he's done us a service because he's a mate by coming on, but you can still tell it's painful to talk about. So wish him the best. It's not easy to go through. It'd be lovely for him to get a bit of game time or get some involvement at the tail end of the competition, which will be very hard. But again, it couldn't happen to a nicer bloke. If it is to happen, he deserves it.
And you mentioned when we were chatting to him just then, obviously mouth-watering ties in the quarterfinals, but there's some great games last weekend. So we should find out what your meter moment of the week is, Johnny.
I loved Samoa running England close. That would have been epic if they'd won that. The Japan-Argentina game, from both sides, some outstanding rugby, running rugby, offloading. Probably one of the best finishes from a second row you'll ever see.
Yeah.
If you go back and watch the highlights of that game, in space, finishes from 50 meters out, a chip and chase, but not even that could beat the Portuguese boys, who I think have stolen everyone's hearts and everyone's minds, a side that wasn't even meant to be there. Come the start of the competition, they've taken Spain's spot and they've absolutely run with it. Lovely rugby, really fluid play. They've been consistent and thrown together some great stuff in every single game. But to finish with a flourish, to nearly force Fiji out and to see Australia sneak through the back door by beating Fiji in their last game, and the manner of that victory as well, like playing positive rugby in the last minute at the death, to see the reaction of the players, how much it meant to them. I'm not sure if you've seen, but like the fan reaction back home, them arriving.
Yes.
Back in Port, I mean, just amazing to see. And that's what you want. That's what you want the rugby landscape to look like, is to create these moments and more of these moments in World Cups for these players, for the fans, and to throw it further around the world. So the Portuguese boys have been superb, and you just hope now they get to build on it. I know most of them are still semi-pro at best, a lot of them amateur, but more games against better opposition so that come 4 years' time, they're in an even better position to qualify and then to threaten even more big sides in the competition. So they've been class and they are easily the meter moment of the week, probably the competition so far. And I can't wait to see more of them.
Yeah, I think tough to argue with that. Probably the meter moment of the pool stages, I reckon that, Portugal. That was Johnny's meter moment of the week, and meter is the world's number one wireless meat thermometer, recently making over 20 million cooks better with their game-changing app and completely wireless Bluetooth meat probe. You can use it on a barbecue, in the oven, or in a pan, and you can get your hands on one at meter.com. Plus, you can get 10% off any full-price item. All you have to do is enter the code FrenchPod10 at checkout. That's FrenchPod10, and you'll get 10% off any full-price item at meter.com. Thanks, Johnny. Massive thanks to Paul Willemser for joining us. And thanks to all you guys for listening. Make sure you hit subscribe. Leave us a nice review if you can. Check us out on Rugby Pass and on YouTube. And we'll be back with another episode next week. Au revoir, Johnny.
Catch you next week, mate. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.